from the University of Winnipeg. This is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio.
You're listening to Sistitz on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your mind.
Hello and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. My name is Mary. I am the outreach coordinator here at Voices, and I am joined today with our manager, Aaron, our practicum student, Katya, and our other practicum student, Maiva. Today's theme is navigating survival mode, and no, not living out in the wilderness, but surviving everyday life, either with an overactive nervous system or anxiety that can come from experiencing trauma in our lives. Stay tuned for a deeper dive in that discussion in our second half. We're going to kick it off with an icebreaker as we always do. Today's question is, if your life had a theme song right now, what would it be?
I would say mine would definitely be Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. I think that's always a good reminder that every little thing's going to be all right, you know, no matter what you're going through. But yeah, that's mine.
I love that one. We love Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. I wish I could say mine is as sweet as that, but mine is Staying Alive by Bee Gees, because that is what it feels like right now. We're just staying alive throughout each day.
That's a good one too. Very on theme for today. I would say mine is Georgie Porgy by Toto, because it's just really groovy. It has nothing to do with my life, but it's just really groovy, and every time I listen to it, it just makes me in a good mood, makes me want to walk, kind of like the Bee Gees, like I'm in the 70s or something. So yeah, that's definitely mine right now.
I love that. Well, mine's a little different. Mine comes from Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, right? Like sometimes that's what it feels like, just to get through the day, and those baby steps, you just got to keep swimming.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing, guys. All right, we got some Voices updates for you guys. Starting with February 6th, we will be hosting a clothing drive here at the Voices office. If you are in need of any winter apparel, whether that's winter jackets, gloves, toques, we will have that for you guys here. Drop-in will be on a first-come, first-served basis between the hours of 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. We'll be here all day. We'll have some hot chocolate ready for you guys, and we'd love to see you. The office will be closed on February 16th because it is Louis Riel Day that day. And on February 23rd, we will be hosting Empower You from 5 to 7 p.m. here at the Juno office. And we're going to be talking about financial literacy. And dinner will also be provided. So if you are interested, do not hesitate to reach out. And you guys are always welcome as drop-ins. We have Earl Cook Classic coming up in March. The date is still to be determined, but Earl Cook Classic is a hockey game between youth in and from care versus their supports in tribute to Earl Cook and his legacy. So whether you'd like to participate as a youth in or from care, or maybe you are a support staff member, we are looking for people to come be a part of this hockey game. And if you don't want to participate in the game, we'd love to have an audience, so you are more than welcome to join us on that day and cheer our youth and staff on. And as always, you guys can give us a call at 204-982-4956. You can find us on the third floor of 61 Juno Street. You can email us at ask@voices.mb.ca. And you can find us on social media at voices-myicn. And that's going to take us into our rights highlight. Maiva, what do you have for us today?
Thank you, Mary, for all the updates. So today we have Article 27 from the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of a Child. Article 27 is the right to an adequate standard of living. Every child has a right to a standard of living that is good enough to meet their physical, mental, spiritual, moral, and social needs. Governments must help families who cannot afford to provide this. So why does this fit the theme of survival mode today? So it directly names survival as not just physical, but emotional, mental, and social. It places responsibility on systems, not just individuals or families. It resonates with conversations about poverty, housing, food insecurity, and burnout. So now we will talk about the United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People. We're going to be talking about Article 29. Article 29 is about environmental protection and the safe handling of hazardous materials on Indigenous lands. In plain language, Article 29 is saying Indigenous peoples have the right to the conservation and protection of the environment and the productive capacity of their lands, territories, and resources. It also says that states must take effective measures to ensure their protection. Hazardous materials like toxic waste, chemicals, or radioactive materials must not be stored or disposed of on Indigenous lands without free, prior, or informed consent. States must also take steps to prevent and remedy environmental harm. Health programs must be provided to Indigenous peoples when environmental damage affects them, and these programs should be developed with Indigenous peoples. This article talks about the concept of environmental justice, which means that all human beings have the right to live in an environmentally safe and sustainable world. This means that no group of people should face adverse environmental hazards created by human activity. Environmental justice also includes treating the earth as its own entity and not something to be owned and conquered. Environmental Impacts Assessment, EIA, is also a tool used to make environmental decisions in Canada. EIA can be engaged with by the public, and more specifically Indigenous peoples, so that they have a voice in decision making that affects them and their land.
Thanks so much for sharing, Maiva. That's going to take us into our first song break of the show. We have Like a Child by Boy Golden.
Who left me here alone to die, here alone with my wicked ways? Who held my hand, led me down the stairs, left me with my cares and wicked ways? Well, I won't turn round, won't turn round again. No, I won't turn round, won't turn round again. Shed a tear, who from their own eye let a diamond fly and turned away? Who got my number wrong, let me sing too long and turned away? Well, I won't back down, won't back down again. Back down again. A little like a child, I love you. A little like a child, I need you near. A little like a child, I love you. You only tell me what I wanna hear. A little like a child, I love you. A little like a child, I keep you close. A little like a child, I love you. You only tell me what. No match for my tune, swept away. Knots in my legs, on my aching back. When I make you laugh, the swept away. What I got right now won't turn around again. What I got right now won't turn around again. Child, I love you. A little like a child, I need you near. A little like a child, I love you. You only tell me what I wanna hear. A little like a child, I love you. A little like a child, I keep you close. A little like a child, I love you. You only tell me what.
welcome back to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM.
All right, so today's community connection that I have for you guys is Mamaway Center. It is Indigenous-led, family-focused support that offers programming around parenting, wellness, youth, and community healing. This is in itself a strong example of collective survival and resilience. Hours at the King location are from 9 a.m. to 4:30 and 8:30 to 4 p.m. at the McGregor location.
Thanks, Katya. Voices actually partnered with Mamaway for one of our outreach efforts. One of our youth from the Voices program had the idea of feeding our relatives that are in need. And we ended up partnering with Mamaway, and we handed out over 300 bagged lunches and 60 hygiene packages to our relatives that were in need in the Point Douglas area. So I have very, very fond memories working with Mamaway Group.
Thank you so much, Erin. I just wanted to add that if survival mode feels inherited or intergenerational, organizations like Mamaway can show what community-led care looks like. All right, and now we have our child welfare in the news. Today we have our article from Canadian Child Welfare Research Portal. It is titled Survivalist Self-Reliance as Both Adaptation and Danger for Youth Aging Out of Care. So this is a study from 2009, a little bit older, but it looks at how a lot of young people who age out of foster care end up living in what the authors call survivalist self-reliance. So basically, when you've had to handle life on your own for a really long time, you learn to be tough, independent, and proud of not needing help, when in reality it is okay to need help. The research found that some youth avoided asking for support or opening up emotionally because relying on others had felt unsafe in the past. So while survival mode can be a strength, it can also quietly make adulthood harder. For our topic today, this is a good reminder that surviving isn't the same as thriving, and that learning to let safe people in can be just as powerful as learning to stand on your own.
Thank you so much for researching this article, Katya, and sharing this information. It is so incredibly relevant, and I will just speak for myself that everything in my life changed once I was able to ask for help and was able to find support and, you know, have people in my life that showed me you don't need to do it all by yourself. Yes, it is a strength. Yes, you can feel proud. It's actually quite a skill to be able to live independently and handle adulthood on your own. But at the end of the day, we're all human and we need people to help us, and there will always be people out there that want to help you.
Well, as a human, we need that connection, right? And when you have that connection in that safe environment, that is what fosters someone to be able to open up about their struggles. And you never know who's going to be the most support that you need at that time in your life.
Definitely, and I'm sure we'll get more into this later, but we really need that safety first in order to heal. And like, sure, we might be getting stuff done, handling life and being independent, but we might be in a survival mode without realizing it, and we need that support to get out of that. We need to feel secure and safe, and then the healing process can start.
Yeah, that's really well said, guys. I also think that with youth in care specifically, it's really, they're in survival mode at so young. Like, we talk a lot about adults in survival mode, but when you're in care, you're in survival mode. As soon as apprehension happens, a lot of youth are unfortunately in survival mode, and you live like that for so long that you become an adult, and then that's how you run and that's how you try navigate. And as we know, and like the article highlights, that yeah, aging out of care is the thing that gets most youth from care. That's what gets them struggling. And it's really important that social workers, foster parents, that there's a really good support system that explains that it's good to be resilient and fosters empowerment, but also teaches them to, you know, gives them the resources and teaches them that it's okay to ask for help. So
Some of my closest friends who understand the in-care experience and have come from care, and myself included, we kind of have this inside joke about resilience, is that anytime someone is complimenting a child from care is that we're told that we're strong and resilient, which is very nice words to say because they're so true, but it becomes the main title. And sometimes we're just like, well, thank you. I didn't have a choice. I had to be resilient, or what was the other option, right? So it's important that we recognize this. Like, yes, there is resilience, and that is a skill that should absolutely be proud of. But it's also remembering that youth in and from care don't have a choice but to be resilient. We're going to go into our second song break of the show. I have Before You by Chantel Kreviazyk. Welcome back to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. We are now in our second half of the show, and we're going to be discussing navigating survival mode. And so to kick it off, Katya, could you explain to us what survival mode is?
Yeah, of course. So by definition, survival mode is actually a state of chronic stress. It's described as being in that fight or flight mode, you know. Other, I guess, common words or terms could be burnout or in a state of hypervigilance. But rather than that, it's more so long term. So yeah, I'm sure many of us have experienced that and are going through that right now as we speak. But at the same time, it looks different for everyone. So I guess that leads to my next question is, what does that look like in everyday life? Or what does that look like for you guys?
Well, for me, I mean, I've been in survival mode. Your body itself keeps score. Like, there's an excellent book on that. But in my younger years, I was in survival mode several times. Just aging out of care and other situations, life situations that have come up. And my body is still in pain from those times of that hypervigilance, my nervous system, different things. It can have a lasting effect. So that's what survival mode kind of means to me at this point in time.
Yeah. It's crazy how that works with our bodies, hey?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Like my back injury, I've been dealing with a back injury for many, many years, and it flares up and it calms down and then it flares up again. And it's, it really is a result from being in survival mode as long and as often as I was in my younger years.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I find when you're in that state, it's especially difficult to stay present. You know, it's hard because you're always in sort of like an autopilot mode, mm-hmm. just going about your day. You're surviving, right?
Mm-hmm. I can say for myself, I've been in different kind of survival modes throughout my life. So I've been in environments where it was very blatantly triggering or maybe not even objectively like safe. And it's a situation you wake up stressed, you go to bed stressed, and you don't have solutions to handle this stress or to deal with it. And so you're right, Katya, you're just going through the actions to get through the day and you're surviving. But this whole time, you're not really processing the daily triggers, the daily instances of stress or whatever is going on. I've had other instances where, you know, everything could be objectively safe, the environment's fine. But there's financial stress, there's job stress, there's relationship stress. And it triggers all the same emotions where you're not processing what you're feeling because every day you have to deal with the same problem. So your body's not in a state, your mind's not in a state to sit back and say, okay, we're good now. It's just, it feels like endless triggering is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I'd say for me, it was actually very recently, actually last term of school, which I think a lot of people can relate to, feeling like you're on autopilot when you're working or you have a very heavy course load. So in the fall term, just this past year, I really was on autopilot. I felt it was really weird to describe because I felt stressed, but I was really like, I was getting my assignments done. Was I doing them a little last minute? Yes. But I just couldn't, there was no real motivation. I was just kind of doing what I had to do. I was going to work, I was going to practicum. And a lot of stuff happened in that emotionally that were pretty traumatizing that I just did not process. I just really was like, it was just so weird. And at the end of the term, I really kind of like broke down and I had like that moment of, wow, that was a lot. And yeah, it just gave me no time to really process anything that happened.
Thanks for sharing, Maiva. That was, yeah, that's hard to go through, I'm sure. And, you know, that you came out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're very strong. So I just wanted to say that. For me, I would say mine is a lot of dissociation and out-of-body experience. So if you think of survival mode on Minecraft, it's kind of as mm-hmm. if you're in third person, right? Watching yourself from the outside mm-hmm. and just getting through the day, like Mary said, you know. But yeah, just a lot of out of body, and I think I like to relate it to that one scene. I'm not too sure if you guys have seen the movie Get Out mm-hmm. by Jordan Peele.
It's fantastic.
He's mm-hmm. in the middle of hypnosis, and he just keeps on falling further and further away from his physical self. So to me, I think if I were to use a scene to describe what it feels like to somebody, that's how I would put it.
It's an excellent movie. Highly yeah. recommend.
Such a good movie. So looking back at those experiences in survival mode, would you guys say that you notice any signs at first, or any moments where it maybe just suddenly clicked, and or if it even felt normal at the time? You know, sometimes I feel it's kind of hard to distinguish once you're in that state.
Well, for me, I'll give you a little bit, take a deeper dive into life of Erin. Mm-hmm. Being in care, yeah, you're in survival mode. Like there's, yeah, I mean, that's just how it is. And when I was exiting care, it was in a very, it was actually quite dangerous for me. So I was in survival mode for quite a few years. And when I finally, when things started to calm down, you know what I would do? I would cause issues in my relationship to get back to that feeling of being in survival mode. Mm-hmm. I would cause problems when they were unnecessarily caused. Really, it took really good people in my life to be able to help me realize calm is okay. Calm is good. And there doesn't have to be all this chaos around you. But that was my normal. So it was very difficult for me to understand what being calm and being protected and safe felt like, because I had never experienced it. Mm-hmm. So it's taken me many years, but I'm finally at a place where I don't feel that I'm in survival mode.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's great insight, Erin. And I think that is very real and raw, what you just said, you know, that we tend to sabotage something when it's going good because we are used to being in chaos, and that the calm starts, it's uncomfortable. So how do we get back to what is normal for us, even if it's not good for us? I think that is such a very real experience for many people. And it's important that we talk about it in that honest and real way, that we're aware of those things as they happen.
But what I do want to mention is it really was the people around me that were safe and welcoming and accepted me for who I was and am, and stuck by me, even despite me causing trouble. You know, they still loved me and still wanted the best for me. So kudos to the people that you find in your life that are those stable, loving people that are supportive and will love you no matter what.
I second that. I think that the greatest cure for anything is another person or more people that can support us and love us. It just goes the longest way, and it has the most healing properties. Mm-hmm. I would say that the moment when it clicked that I had been in survival mode was much after being in survival mode, and when things again like started to calm down and felt peaceful, is that's when I was able to process stuff, because that's when I was safe to process stuff. And, you know, I got emotional, I felt sad, I felt down, I didn't understand where these feelings were coming from, because objectively outside, everything was fine. My life was going good. for once, it felt like, and that's when all these emotions hit me. And as I grew up and learned about trauma, learned about survival mode, I recognized, oh, it's I was living in this state of constant stress I wasn't able to process. That's what that was. That's why I wasn't feeling these emotions during that time, is it wasn't safe to do that. And it absolutely felt normal at that time. It's really hard to do that reflection and ask yourself, am I in survival mode? Because even if the answer is yes, you might not have that solution to get out of it at that time. So facing that answer can be very difficult. And the signs looking back, I think if you're not processing, if you're not crying or getting sad or, you know, feeling the emotions from certain triggers or stress, I think that that's a very big sign.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for sure. Thanks for sharing, you guys. I just wanted to quickly chime in and say that that's absolutely valid. Like, you know, a lot of the times we don't realize it until we're out of it, because when we're in it, it's hard to show up as ourselves. It's hard to, you know, think as we usually would when we're feeling okay, when we're, you know, having a good day. But yeah, like a lot of the time too, survival mode can show up as exhaustion. It could show up as anxiety or low energy. But, you know, for me, I would say it clicked when I realized that I wasn't just tired. You know, I was dysregulated. I was in a state of constant overwhelm. I have ADHD, so my brain is always going. And I noticed, like, my thoughts were amplified. It's like I had a million tabs open in my brain at once, right? So that in itself makes it harder to navigate on its own. And also to even realize that you're in it in the first place when that's been your reality forever, right? But, yeah.
I would say, just to end off on this part, that I really resonate with what you guys said, especially with lacking people that support you. I feel like for when a couple years, probably 4 years now ago, I really was going through it as well. And I feel like it was a form of autopilot slash depression, but I still kind of want to talk about it because I feel I was doing a lot of stuff that I normally would never do. And it was really bad stuff. And I realized that, like, it felt not good, but I just kind of did it because the people around me were really not supportive. I couldn't talk to people. It obviously wasn't me. If you knew me, you would be like, okay, what was going on with Maiva? This isn't normal. And once I met my boyfriend 4 years ago now, is when I kind of realized, like, it clicked for me that I was, after a couple months of kind of calming down from that autopilot mode, I really realized that that wasn't me. And there was a lot of regret. There was a lot of, like, just come down crying. But now, like, we can both confidently say, like, that was a really strange, like, period of just, like, what happened. Like, my sister was obviously there too for that. And it was, yeah, it's really interesting to see how you are during your autopilot mode versus how you, you know, grow out of it. And it's possible to grow out of it, because I know sometimes people really go really deep and really struggle to come out of it. But, you know, I'm here and we're all here. So it's really an example that you can get out of it.
Something I'd really like to add, great conversation so far, everybody, is you can go in and out of survival mode like hundreds, thousands of times, right? I can tell you that when I don't do well with confrontation, and when there is confrontation, my fight or flight response gets activated immediately, and then it takes me a while to come back down, because then at that point I feel as though I'm mm-hmm. back in that survival mode. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's something that it's important to know about it, and to be gentle with yourself and forgive yourself and, you know, heal from it. give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
Take it as a learning opportunity too, right? Like, we will go through these phases in our lives where maybe we didn't show up as our best selves, and we might look back and be like, what was I doing? But I think at the end of the day, you form a deeper relationship with yourself, right? When you go through those things and you can recognize, okay, maybe I don't like that phase, or I don't like the things I was doing in that phase, but it almost takes that experience to have that awareness to say, okay, going forward, I'm not going to repeat this. But, you know, sometimes we need to go through it to learn the lessons. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's all a part of the experience, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that acceptance is a huge part of it. You know, and sort of just like the reframing of survival mode itself as something that's actually protecting you, right? And just making sure that you're safe. That's all it's doing. But as, you know, negative as a thing it may seem, it's, you know, it's your body protecting itself. So how can we navigate transitioning out of survival mode? What does that look like? For me, I would say mindfulness, first of all. So being mindful of everything you do, doing your daily tasks, I think, with intent, whether it's something as small as walking to the store or doing the dishes, doing your laundry, right? I think just really slowing down in itself is one of the best things you can do for your nervous system. I find that's what's been really helpful for me. But yeah, how about for you guys?
Well, I'm a big believer in meditation. I find that that's really important. I don't do it nearly often enough, but I do recommend it for everyone. But you're right, like even doing the dishes, being intentional, that type of thing, it's baby steps, guys. It's baby steps, because when you're in survival mode, your body is, I don't know about you guys, but my body gets stiff, I get sore, I sometimes will develop a headache or a migraine. So there are certain things that you need to do, but you do them slowly. And I mean, I know in some cases, like when you're in survival mode, yeah, your house gets messy. Pick a corner and clean up that one corner. That can be your motivation to keep going, but do it slowly. So it's kind of reintegrating back into yourself.
Absolutely. And I agree with Katya about, you know, being present and just kind of being where your feet are. It can really help with the feelings of anxiety that can come with survival mode, or, you know, kind of anticipating the worst thing to happen. I'm very bad for this sometimes, is just reminding myself to deal with problems as they come. And, you know, the stress we feel from anxiety comes from the thoughts of it, not the actual event happening most of the time, because the events that we imagine will happen, they usually don't. So that's always a good reminder I like to tell myself, is just, okay, what problems do we have in front of us? And I think just processing the emotions, which can be uncomfortable sometimes, you know, if we're feeling sadness or anger, whatever it might be. But there's the saying that I love, and it's that you have to feel it to heal it. That's the only way that we can get through it, right? So just let yourself sit with those emotions, and that, know that that's normal, and that it's not going to be forever. You're not going to feel sad forever. You're not going to feel angry forever. You're going to get through those feelings.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Mary. One thing that just came up for me as well, there have been times, I'm sure, in your guys' life as well, where you feel as if rest is something that you need to earn, or it can be difficult to rest. But my partner shared that rest is productive at times. So I think just reminding yourself that, keeping it at the back of your head that, hey, sometimes I'm doing myself a favor if I just slow down, if I just take a second, if I take a day, take a week, sometimes it's needed, right? In order to move forward and show up as your highest self.
Thank you for that, Katsu. That's really a good way to incorporate rest and like incorporating it as a way that people that are on autopilot really could use, because yeah, it is true that it does help production, and that's like a big thing right now where just we feel like we have to just keep going work-wise, school-wise. For me, I'd say a way I cope, kind of going back to what Aaron said earlier about even autopilot being like a triggering moment, I'd say like if you're just going through something like in the moment that's really triggering, it triggers your fight or flight, try and contact someone that you feel that you trust or that you feel will kind of help you get out of that. That's what I do personally when it is more of like a moment thing. Now that I'm more aware of my wellness and my well-being, I feel like even if it was like I just talked about the fall term there, I feel like I was kind of able to identify it towards the end and just be around my partner and people that I know can support me through that. So
I know that it's kind of cliche, but you know, just talking to someone, saying mm-hmm. something out loud can be so healing, mm-hmm. right? So if you're talking to your partner or you have that person to call, that it really goes a long way. It takes it out of your mind and, you know, it makes it real, and it helps us organize those thoughts and feelings. And I think writing too, you know, again, it's very cliche. It's like, well, what could writing do for me? But journaling, writing, like you really are organizing your thoughts, you're processing your emotions as you do that. And it's very simple, but I find it has really wonderful healing properties to it.
Even art. Mm-hmm. Go and paint something. Mm-hmm. You know, like even if it's not like an art piece, but maybe paint your bathroom. Like, you know, just that act of doing something repetitive and mm-hmm. peaceful, and it's going to bring you something good at the end, right? Like something to look forward to. I think those types of tasks are very helpful when you're in that mode.
Of course. Yeah. Any form of self-expression, I would say. I agree. Like for me, dance has always been a big thing in my life. But sometimes when I'm in survival mode, it's the last thing I want to do. You know, things that bring me joy, I don't have the energy for anymore. So to just get moving, even in moments where you don't feel like it, for yourself, right? It's showing up for yourself. It's proving to yourself that, hey, I'm here. Like, you're okay. Everything's going to be okay. We'll get back to ourselves at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm. But and while we're on the topic of things that, you know, we can do to help us cope with it, I do just want to touch on some things that may be easy to turn to when we're in survival mode or when we're highly stressed, but that can really make the healing process longer or more difficult to navigate. And that's, you know, when we're stressed out, a lot of people, you know, might want to go home and have a glass of wine or something. And there's nothing objectively wrong with that. But I think when we're in these states of stress, if we turn to a substance or something that takes our mind off of it, it's important to remember that this is a Band-Aid solution, and that if we engage in that we're really extending the processing period that we need, because substances like that will not allow us to process our emotions in a way that is healthy. So it's just important to keep that in mind, as it might feel like a solution in the moment, but long term we're still going to have to go through that, the healing and the processing.
Well, it's kind of like my back, guys. Because I take medication to help ease with the nerve pain, right? But in turn of taking this medication, I also go to physiotherapy to help actually get things to move properly, going to the source kind of thing. So it's, yeah, like the medication I take right now, it's temporary while I work on the main issue.
The root cause. You gotta get in there, yeah, definitely.
And I cannot emphasize enough, you guys, that if you are feeling this way, if you're feeling burnt out, if you're feeling like you're in survival mode, you aren't alone. Healing isn't linear, but it is also possible. So just remember that.
Well, we just want to say thank you so much for tuning into our show today. What a lovely conversation we had. Thank you guys so much for all your wonderful insight. We'll be back same time next week. Bye.
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 Once but who got into an accident and caught and come to school. But when he finally came back, his hair had turned from black into bright white. He said that it was from when the cousin smashed his soul. Thank you.
From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio.
Support for CKUW is provided by the Western Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know that the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tuning program runs Tuesdays at the Western Cultural Center from 4 to 6 p.m. and is for ages 12 to 18.
CKUW's Fun Drive is your chance to show support for the great programming you enjoy here on the station. Music that is curated by actual humans, not AI. News that is informative and thoughtful, not pacifying and rage-inducing. This is what you find on CKUW 95.9 FM, and that is what you can support with your donation from February 6th to February 20th. Go to fundrive.ckw.ca to donate.
With your CKUW Friends Card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends Card, your dollars get you more at
King Cod Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start and or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out the Bella Vista Nights every Wednesday for free live music, sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM, fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends Card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.